Father, we gather in your presence today. We really need you in these trying times, with everybody, with all the flooding, with everything that's going on around our nation, with everything that's going on in people's hearts. Please bring us together. We need you more than ever. Please look over us. Please watch out for us. Please help us with our anger, with our frustration, with our sadness. Please come into our hearts. And hopefully we have a really good day, even with the rain. Fill us with your word through Pastor Sean. Give us your love in your name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, boss. Thank you, Derek, for being such a willing volunteer. We're in Acts of the Apostles, episode 12, chapter 12, and I have a slide for recap. I got a couple. First slide for recap, what we've learned so far. Ready? If you are prone to criticize, please consider stopping it. Say, stop it. Yeah. If you're prone to criticize, please consider stopping it. Number two, if we are prone to criticize before we even know the whole story, we should stop it. Yes. If we are prone to criticize proven disciples, proven leaders, proven believers, before we even ask God what he thinks, we should stop it. You guys, awesome. You were paying attention last week. Slide number two. There's another thing that we also learned in how we form opinions. This is something we learned. We got a checklist now. Before we form an opinion, we should ask God first. Before we form an opinion, we should get the whole story. Ever been judged by somebody they didn't have the whole story? Come on, they didn't have the whole thing, and they're tearing you up, and they're spreading your name all over town. Well, that Pastor Sean, he's mean. Man, he's mean. I have people, you don't even know. I live 4 inches away from a rock quarry, it feels like, half the time. You know, you don't know who's going to be slinging stones, Cody, and you don't even know where they're coming from most of the time. Anybody? Like, man, if you had the whole story, like, if you were to talk to me, you wouldn't be so mad at me. Some people would, yeah, you'd still be mad because that's the decision I would make. But sometimes, I bet you 90% of the people that are still mad at me today, if they came and talked to me, I just have this feeling they wouldn't be as mad. Anybody relate to that? Yeah. So before you get an opinion, ask God first, get the whole story, and get it from the source. Not, I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. Right? That never works out well. Get it from the source. Number four, have grace for the proven, because nobody's Jesus but Jesus. So that means nobody's going to be perfect. Somebody's going to let you down. They're going to do the best Jesus impression they got from their heart. But I guarantee you, something's going to rub you the wrong way, and they're not perfect. And if we remember this from Chris Coletta, famous quote, how can I judge you when I know myself? That should slow our roll, right, in the criticism world. Dang. Pastor, you're not even preaching yet. No, that's just you know, because Derek prayed us in. That's why. Episode 12, Acts 12, 1, in the Amplified. Now at that time, I'm slow rolling here, Bob, so don't get nervous. At that time, what time? The rapidly growing church time. Remember, the church was growing. And at that time, the Holy Spirit was moving on the Jewish people, and all the rest of us. Man, anyone who would believe and follow him, his spirit was being poured out, right? And then it was also the time of the great scattering. The church under persecution and scattering. Now at that time, Herod Agrippa, the king of the Jews, arrested some who belonged to the church. Say, I am the church now. Yeah, I am the church now. Arrested them, intending to harm them. Arrested some, attending to harm them. It's no longer threat season. There's a lot of threats, but now he's taking people. He's intending to harm them. I think I want to pull over there just real quick before I get to my next verse, because I think this gets under the rug swept a bit when people come to Christ and accept Jesus. Accepting Jesus and allowing that change that's necessary in our lives, internally and externally, right? But if we've truly received Jesus' atonement, then we've got to realize something. This, I'm trying to say this not sarcastic, because none of you are from upstate New York. we have truly received Jesus' atonement, then we must realize it's a bigger commitment than just finally feeling better in my life. It's a bigger commitment than me enjoying the pursuit of my new good vibes. If that's all you feel like when you came to Christ and you didn't come to Christ, you let him touch and do something in you, but you never surrendered something to him in our lives for him and accepting that sacrifice that he made. If we've never done that, then you just chasing good vibes and guaranteed good vibes will be over. They end quickly, right? There will be great and amazing times when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And there are going to be hard and difficult times too. So here's a paraphrase of what Jesus said. It's not up there, Bob. Don't sweat it. This is a paraphrase. Okay. Jesus said, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. But I'm asking you to follow me anyways. If they did it to me, they'll do it to you. But I'm asking you to follow me anyways. Right. Acts 12, 1 through 3. Let's read it all together. Now at that time, Herod the king arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to harm them. And he had James, the brother of John. That's an OG. That's an OG disciple. That's one of the 12. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Wow. That's different than being scattered. And that's just not some, you know, fringe guy out in Tanzania who just got saved 4 minutes ago and the whole village got, oh, this is OG. Had James, the brother of John, put death with the sword. Jesus warned his 12, and he warned all his disciples that persecution of various kinds will come. And history shows us that the truth is always persecuted. Truth rarely stays popular for long. Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to have Peter arrested as well. This was during the days of the unleavened bread or Passover week. I'll pause in there because I thought about that. That hit me. I'm like, okay, God, why am I paying attention there? I wonder, I don't know if you know anybody that has PTSD or adrenal fatigue or if you have it yourself or if you've ever heard of it, but I wonder when Peter was arrested during Passover week if that was triggering. Why you say that? Well, wasn't just the year before that Jesus was arrested on Passover week, arrested and crucified. And just before he was arrested and crucified, he told Peter, guess what? What's going to happen to me is going to happen to you too. So here it is, Passover week, the following season, and he's arrested. And not just like under threat, but his boy James was just killed. I'm just wondering. Pete, in his situation, probably expected his death, right? He had a front row seat. He watched what happened to the Lord. The Lord told him what was going to happen. I'll be arrested. I'm killed. So Peter's, I'd be thinking that. Wouldn't you be thinking that? Like, it's my time. I'd be like, I got to accept this. It's my time. The Lord told me, here I am arrested. It's Passover. James was killed. Here we go, right? Acts 12, 4 through 5. When he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, turning him over to four squads of soldiers of four each. Check my math, but that's like 16 totes guards. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Four squads of soldiers for each to guard him in rotation throughout the night. He's serious about this, right? Planning, why'd he do that? Planning that after the Passover to bring him out before the people for execution. What was Peter being set up for? Execution. The number one church leader targeted for brutal assassination. Never could it happen. Man, it happens all the time. And Jesus said, don't be shocked by it. They came for me, they'll come for you. Peter's arrested, it's Passover. Scheduled for execution, so Peter was kept in prison. Say, but. See, sometimes here's the thing about God, and I haven't got his complete mind always on this circumstance, and I would love to, but here's one of the realities. Disciples are sometimes called to take a beating. Peter took a lot of beatings, Read it. Paul's left for dead. Sometimes you got to take it on the chin when you don't want to. I'm not really good at, man, the Lord got me to turn the other cheek. I'm not good at getting the other one out yet. It's been a long time. I've been serving him. I'm not like, I'll turn it like, I'll announce it. Hey, just turn my cheek. You're lucky, you know. If I turn the other cheek, forget about it. Because it's going to come with my right hand, you know. Lord help me. But sometimes disciples are called to take a beating. I wanted to answer a dude back that was giving Dr. Heidi on blast while I was on vacation. I wanted to answer him personally. I know how to get a hold of him personally through the chain. And I was going to say, hey, why don't you talk to me, bro? That's my wife. The Lord said, you're going to make a mess. Just take it. Why are you even on Facebook? Yes, Lord. Okay. Father, what about John, you know? Sometimes disciples are called to take a beating, and sometimes he breaks them out. Sometimes they're let down through a wall. Sometimes they get a boat. Sometimes they get a, hey, they're coming for you. Get out of here, right? Sometimes that happens. I don't know. But I think being arrested in chained between two guys and have 16 guys guard me day and night on Passover may have triggered me a little. Set up for execution. But fervent and persistent prayer for him was being made to God by the church. Fervent and persistent prayer for him was being made to God by the church. Say, I am the church. There is power in united persistent prayer. There is power in united persistent prayer. And we're going to touch on that, I think, again. But I just, there is power in that. Acts 12, 6 through 8. Pastor, you're going to love, you got the children's church work afterwards, don't you? And Taco Bar, you're going to love me today. I think we're going to get record out. I'm just saying. You never know. Record out, maybe. Acts 12, 6 through 8. The very night before Herod was to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. So he's sleeping between two guys, bound with chains. And sentries were in front of the door guarding the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared beside him, and a light shone in the cell. The angel struck Peter's side and awakened him. Smacked by an angel, TV series. You know, smacked by an angel. Pop, pop. Wake up. Smacked by an angel. Right, you know. Struck Peter's side, awakened him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. Here's the next part that I feel like is like, highlighted. You ready? The angel said to him, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. But what about, no, don't prepare yourself. Well, what if someone, I don't have this and I don't have that. And I wish I, prepare yourself. I feel like this is the season God is saying, prepare yourself. Like work on what you can. Don't look what you can't do. Work on what I can do. No, not what you can do, what I'm asking you to look at. Prepare yourself. You want a prophetic word? Prepare yourself. Feel that. Do you feel it? Does that make you feel uncomfortable and not want to look at me? You're like, no, I'm not looking right at you. Prepare yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself and strap on your sandals. Pick up your backpack. Come on. Prepare and strap on your sandals and get ready for whatever may happen. What am I supposed to be ready for? Whatever may happen. What? What's that mean? Like, whatever, like, yeah, if I'm being led off to execution, prepare yourself. If you're prepared to be scattered, prepare yourself. If I'm asking you to go into this hospital territory and pray for an enemy, prepare yourself. If I'm asking you to speak on a men's ministry on Saturday morning, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Say, Hondro, where are you? Prepare yourself. All right. Prepare yourself. Get ready for whatever may happen. And he did so. Often a simple act of obedience can bring a new perspective. Sometimes, like, it's just a simple thing he's asking us to do. And how many times you haven't done the simple thing? Lord, I would lay my life down. Did you see me at the altar? I was crying. I told you. Do you remember when I told you? Yeah. But, hey, man, I just asked you to go clean the toilet for your wife. Oh, but I just need a move of God in my house. I need the breakthrough. And I'm asking you to go clean the toilet for your wife. But I will take 100 Philistines by the throat. Great. But I didn't ask you to do this. You'll clean the toilet for your wife. Why? Because I want to give you some perspective on how hard your job is. So you can really appreciate her when you get home. Perspective. Sometimes obedience will help change perspective, right? Say perspective. The angel told him, put on your robe and follow me. That's quite a crazy scene. It's unbelievable to Peter. Actually, Peter's about to say, this is just a vision. This is really not happening. And I was going to do this dramatic reenactment. I had music prepared. Yeah, I had a guy named Gary Wright that none of you know, but there's a song called Dreamweaver. Some of you old people, Dreamweaver. I believe you can get me through the night, you know? And then it starts off with this little keyboard, bling, 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 like, whoo, and I can just picture Peter, all of a sudden he's laying there, changing the guards, accepting, hopefully, his death, and he's just there, chained between two dudes. Like, I don't sleep well with, like, a wristwatch on, being chained to a dude, I don't know if I'm sleeping. I'm just saying, I'm in prison, I'm like, I better pray for the rest of the crew, right, because they're probably next. I don't know if I'm sleeping real well. But Peter's out. And an angel has to go, pop, pop, wake up, get up, come on, right? And I can just picture Peter going, ooh, good dream. This is a dream. What is happening? This, whew, man, I can't believe it, you know? This is really happening. The point is, Peter's like, this vision can't really be happening. So far in our recap, an angel shows up, his chains fall off, the guards are sleeping real hard. They apparently didn't notice any of this. The angel says, let's go and follow me. So that's where we are so far, Acts 12:9. So Peter left the cell following the angel. Like, what else could he do? You know, it's a dream. Why not play along? Like, I'll do that. These guys sleep, but follow you? All right, let's see what this happens. What else am I going to do? Stay here on the floor? But all the time, he thought it was a vision. A vision. Like, this isn't happening. Maybe he ate some bad cheese. Like, man, that cheese getting a mold. I should have. Maybe he fell asleep and there's like some mushroom on the floor of the cell. And he's like, and then, oh, I had a vision, you know? I don't know. Maybe. How about this? Maybe symbolically, God's like showing me something. I got to figure out its meaning later. Ever get that? This is symbolic. Go clean the toilet. Well, that's can't be real. What's it symbolic of? It's not symbolic for anything. Imagine cleaning the toilet. Yeah, but what does it represent? It represents a toilet. Whoa, what could it mean, you know? Or maybe he's triggered. I'm serious, by psychosis or trauma. Maybe he's like, man, I'm just picturing this because I want it so bad because I'm about to give my life up. And maybe I'm just dreaming. It's my last dream. Maybe I'm already dead in this thing. Like, I'm dead. This is how I'm getting ahead. I may go, may I die? Whew, all right, just follow the angel to Jesus. That wasn't as bad as I thought. I thought they're going to beat the living tar out of me, but hey, here I am. I don't know what's going on in Peter's. I'm going to ask him when I see him. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts, two guard posts, and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this iron gate, it's an iron gate, this giant iron gate, open for them all by itself. All by itself. Just poof, popped open. These guys are sleeping. Man, they was. The chains fell off. They must have had some WD-40 on them. So I don't know how they got out of here. You know? And then they get out to this open big gate. And all of a sudden, poof, it opens, you know? So it's a good time to pause. Chain between two guys. Then two more guys on the outside. A giant locked gate. More soldiers. Opens by itself. Okay. So they pass through that. What could you do? Be like, all right, I'll play along. They pass through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Angels are like popping in. They'd be freaking me out. I'd be swinging on angels. Like, go do it. Quit popping in like that, Gabriel. Man, you got a sword. You took my head off. But my first reaction is to, you know, not turn the other cheek. Quit popping up. Suddenly you're disappearing, leaving me like in the middle of this dream. Like, now what am I supposed to do? You know? Finally came to his senses, and he says this. It's really true. And for a minute, it reminded me, that statement, it's really true, sounded like me accepting Jesus for the first time. Because I didn't know if he was really true. Anybody? I didn't know if he was really who he said he was. I didn't know if he really do what he said he could do. I didn't know if God was real or not, or just made up someone to manipulate me to get me to do stuff and fall in line. But when I really ran into Jesus, my heart went, man, it's true. It's true. I'm a, whoo, it's true. What am I doing? Right? Come on. Finally, he came to a senses that it's really true. Peter finally came true and said, maybe I had accepted I was a goner, but maybe God is doing something. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me. Saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders were planning to do to me. Has anyone ever here, part of Jesus' church, anybody here that you consider yourself part of the church of God? You're part of the church of Jesus Christ. You're a disciple. Then I'm going to give you two things I don't want you to forget. You probably don't need to write them down. Here's the first one. Pray more for others. Pray more for others. Pray more for others. I know we got our list. Lord, my pool. Lord, my roof. Lord, my friend. Lord, my dog. Lord, my neighbor. Lord, my bank account. Lord, my. This is another prophetic word from God. Pray more this season for others. Not saying don't pray for those things and don't ask God for them, but take more time to pray for someone else. And then when you pray for them with passion and heart. And that's like, check it off the list, pray for Harold. Jesus bless Harold, amen. No, you didn't pray for Harold. Jesus bless him, amen. Jesus, didn't you hear me? I said amen in Jesus' name. Oh, no, I'm talking pray for him like you were in prison. Pray for him like you're in that situation and you want other people praying you out of it. So this season, pray for others and pray for them with passion. Can we do that? So I am the church. I am the church. All right. Acts 12:12-14. When he had realized what happened, he went to the house of Mary. Mary, the mother of John. You mean like John the Apostle? Because that's what I was reading. It's like, who's John? Well, was John's mother's name Mary? This is how I do this. I wrestled myself. I go, no, that wasn't his mother's name. Zebedee's wife. I go, oh, yeah, but on the cross, Jesus said, hey, behold your mother, behold your son. So is this metaphoric? Like, is this John the Apostle? And he's just being real creative way he says it, you know? The answer is no. That's not true. John, who was called Mark. Boy, they love nicknames. Like, they love nicknames. Guys love nicknames. We got, like, we go to the high school reunion, you're going to hear a lot of nicknames. Oh, my gosh, you know? Hope you're not stinky. But some people, like, they're stinky. The rest of his life, he's mayor of the town. Like, can you cops call me stinky? We will, stinky. Mayor stinky, you know? John, who was called Mark. Mark what? The missionary. Mark as in the gospel of Mark. Also, here's this about Mark. You ready for this little fact? Mark was the source of no small disagreement later on in another episode that we haven't got to yet. They went to Mary's house where many believers were gathered together and were praying continually and had been praying all night. I got to pray more. I got to have more passion for others, right? Here they are praying all night, continuously. They're gathered together like, you know, Pastor Justin's arrested. They got him down there. They had just killed someone else. And we gather in the church and we're praying like, Lord, do something, please. And I bet we're crying. Our hearts are just grieved. And we're together and we're doing it all night. We're like, we're going to do it 24/7. Get the pizza. We're coming. You know, we're praying. So that's what's happening. And then when Peter, he knocked on the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. I love this, recognizing Peter's voice. I love that because she was obviously listening to things he had to say. She knew him well enough to go, that's him. I heard it, you know. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she failed to open the gate. Like, oh. You know, yeah. She failed to open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gateway. Anybody know Rhodas? You got to know a couple. Maybe you are a Rhoda. Yeah. You can imagine someone doing that, right? Hey, Pastor Justin's out there. He is. Yeah, he's out there. Right? Okay. In my head, this plays out like a really cheesy sitcom, to be honest with you. I feel like Rhoda's like, hey, everyone, you know, we're praying a lot. Like, we've been praying a lot about one thing all night. You know how we're doing that? Like, we're praying for God to rescue Peter. Remember? Remember those prayers? Well, surprise, he answered. Peter's out front. Ooh! You guys got to be stoked. You guys would be stoked that Peter's out front. He answered our prayer. Are you guys excited? Let's see what they said. Acts 12:15. They said to her, you're out of your mind. They said to her, you're out of your mind. Hey, weren't you here last week? That's pretty critical. I mean, that's pretty critical. Hey, you're out of your mind. They didn't say, well, Rhoda, you've not been sleeping. Did you have bad cheese too? Rhoda, you tiny servant girl, ditzy little girl, you. They didn't even say that. They just said, you are out of your mind. See, if you're all prone to being critical, we should stop it. They didn't learn. They said to her, you're out of your mind. How do you know she is? Have you asked God? How do you know she is? Is she a non-proven source? Like that little liar, Rhoda. Can't trust anything she says. She's eating bad cheese all the time. No. So have you asked God? Is she a non-proven source? Have you gotten the whole story? They said to her, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. Maybe she's proven and she's getting frustrated. And anyways, how far is this gate from where they are? Wouldn't you just go, let's just go check? It's like the gate like a mile away. Oh, Rhoda, we're not going to that gate. It's a mile away. It's raining out. I can't imagine. The gate's got to be what, like 50 feet? I don't know. She kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, after that, they're like, well, maybe you're not insane. Maybe it's his angel. Go check the source, man. Get up. Go to the gate. Maybe it's his angel. Leave some milk and cookies out. I don't know. But meanwhile, while all this is going on, like it's a giant sitcom, you can see it happening. Like Peter's like, hey, I'm out. It's Peter! Hey, Peter's here. Peter's like, hey, I'm here. I'm still out here. I'm knocking. Apparently, this gate's not going to wide open like the iron gates did. I got to apparently have you let me in. It's his angel. But meanwhile, Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door, they did the little act of obedience to check on something for themselves. When they opened the door, they saw him there completely amazed. Whoa, shocking. Shocking, right? Acts 12:17. I love this because this makes me feel like Peter's Italian. But motioning to them with his hand to be quiet and listen. Around my house, one of those kids, you get this. Capisce? Anybody? Corona? You got that? You know, he's like, yeah, I understand that. Capisce? Which means, this is a capisce is a nice way of saying, shut up, sit down, and listen, or else. In my house, that's what capisce meant. I mean, the or else part was implied. You know, when your old Italian uncle says capisce, you're like, yep, I don't even know what he said to me, but I'm going to do it. So Peter comes in and goes, hey, be quiet and listen. Maybe they had a listening problem too. They had a listening problem. We never have a listening problem. We don't interrupt God. We know what he's going to say. When he says it, we just jump right to it. And we recognize his voice, even when it's weird. But they have a listening problem. So Peter had to say, capisce, you know. He described how the Lord had led him out of prison. And he said, report these things to James, not the one that's been killed, the other James that's left, and the brothers and sisters. And then he went to another place. Now, when the day came, there was no small disturbance amongst the soldiers. A disturbance over what had become of Peter. You imagine? Where is this guy? We're supposed to kill him tomorrow. Where is he at? When Herod had searched for him and could not find him, he interrogated the guards. That is a very nice way for saying he tortured them till he could find out where they were. Interrogation is a fancy way to say tortured within the realms of law. So they tortured his soldiers, And then he commanded that they be led away for execution. So, like I said, well, that was a hoax, you know. Peter paid him off. I don't know 16 dudes that get paid off for their own death. And I don't know what kind of fishing money they thought Peter had. Can you imagine? You wake up and the guy your garden's gone, and then the crazy maniac who's the runner of your universe comes in and says, I'm going to torture you until you tell me where he is. Or you didn't tell me where he is, you're all going to be killed. That's cold. That's a group of guys cold. Then what did he do after he did that? He's going to have his own people killed. He went down to Judea, Caesarea, and spent some time there. He just hung out, had needed a little vacation after that. He was stressed out. Herod's on a war path. He's killing believers left and right. He's killing his own people left and right. And he's also on a popularity tour. He's on a popularity tour. That comes to get him. Acts 12, 20 through 23. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So he sent a delegation. They sent a delegation to make peace with him. Peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's for food. Why are they making peace? Because this dude controls their food supply and he's mad at them. So they're going to go make peace. Like, dude, we have to. Why? I hate this guy. I hate this guy. I don't know if the mayor like, well, he's really cool, but they're mad at him. Like, we've got to go make peace with this guy. Why? Because he controls our food. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and got an appointment with Herod. It was granted. Like, they needed him to be happy with them. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes. He sat on his throne and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting. Like these guys, like, I don't know if the leaders were like, hey, look, Herod's going to be here no matter what he says. He controls the food. So when he says something, go, yeah, great point, pastor. Give us again, shout it out. He said, I don't know. They're like, they all shouted. It can't be that great a speech. It had to be something to do with his food. You know, like he controls the food. Yeah, what a speech. Great job. But they carried away, right? Shouting, it's the voice of a god, not of a man. Herod's all dressed up. It's the voice of a god, not of a man. Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with sickness because he accepted the people's worship. Because he accepted the people's worship. He accepted people's worship. Be careful, leaders, because some people are prone to live off the praise of others. Some people that aren't even leaders live off the praise of others. Some people make every life decision about what will make them popular in the eyes of others. And they live off the praise of others, even if it conflicts with God's codes, morals, rules, outlines, and love for them. The love of people's praise influences them over God. Sometimes you ever seen that? I say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. I almost recorded my youngest grandson saying, uh-oh. It's great. Yeah, he'll drop some, go, uh-oh. I'm like, okay, was that my phone? No, Mimi's. Okay, never mind. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, you're right. Because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Yeah, yeah. History speaking, I had to check that out. I had to. Historically speaking, he had an illness of intestinal worms and died a few days later after the speech. Aren't you glad I didn't put a picture of that up? I didn't put a picture of him dying of intestinal worms. But I want to say something and put a couple pictures up. When popularity is our source, when popularity is our identity, we don't realize it, but we're getting wormy too. We're getting wormy. If that's how you get, you're getting wormy. You don't know, I know, I just need to hear Jeff tell me I look handsome today. No, I'm getting wormy. Oh, no, that's a little wormy. So I have a picture of one worm. Not that. No, that's the second one, the first picture. You saw, I want the back. Give me back one. Take me back to the first worm. There he is. I won't keep that one up, but that's the first worm. When we take on the necessity of popular opinion to feed our egos, to make us feel safe without going to God first about any of those things, we become the bait for the enemy to consume. That's the kind of worm we are. We're just setting ourselves up to be eaten. Now I have the other warm up. Let's put that other warm up. Doing stuff to appease our culture that specifically conflicts with God's moral or ethical code makes us wormy. Just fertilizer. Acts 12:24. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread. Look at your neighbor. Say, that is the point. It's the point, right? Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread. But yeah, that's the point. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. Man, that's the point. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission to Jerusalem, they returned. Now here, this part doesn't sound very thrilling. Like, where, how are we going to end this episode this way? Taking John Mark with them. Ever hear of foreshadowing? This is foreshadowing. John Mark is awesome, but there's about to be a problem at some point in time about John Mark. It's going to cause a little division in the brotherhood. So here's some fun statements I'd like you to repeat with me. And then I'm going to release us to tacos and children's church parties. Well, I know it's not a party, it's a training. What if I say party? People may attend. Oh. Here's some statements to repeat. You ready? Say, we won't be the church that has to be reminded to pray. How about this one? We will be a church who prays for the persecuted and the scattered. We will be a church who prays for leaders. We won't be a church that chooses popularity over God. Say, we won't be wormy. We need His Spirit because we are the church now. You can stand. Father, I thank you for the church now that we are not wormy, Lord, but we are empowered to pray for others. And I pray that those prayers would impact and take the chains off other people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.